Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is, welcome to IBM 9235 WebSphere Data Power SOA Appliance Support. Today's presenters are Robert Bunn and Bill Carey. Robert is a senior software engineer currently assigned as a team lead for WebSphere Data Power Level 2 support. He has worked in various support roles on a wide range of products operating on IBM mainframes, personal computers, and now IBM WebSphere SOA Data Power appliances. Bill is an advisory software engineer and has program manager as well as knowledge engineer responsibilities in WebSphere. His focus over the last several years has been web support and in particular electronic problem submission. Bill works with external clients as well as with the IBM support community on web support training. He is also focused on improving support content quality and new initiatives. He is the knowledge engineer for the WebSphere Data Power SOA appliances and for the WebSphere adapters. Prior to joining the WebSphere's web support group, Bill worked in the IBM information development area as a manager, team lead, and technical writer. Bill has been with the IBM Corporation for 24 years. Today's webcast consists of two presentations. The first presentation will be delivered by Robert, followed by the second presentation by Bill. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Robert.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Robert Bunn. Thank you for your time this morning attending this presentation about data power support. Bill and I have an objective in the presentation to make it easier for you to open problem records and work with the IBM support team so we can provide you good service quickly. We're going to proceed now from the title page to the first page in the slide. I'm going to go over some things real quick, and then most of the presentation will be Bill showing you the SR tool. Today I'm going to talk about 9235 support, how to look for known solutions, steps to reporting a problem, what if the problem is with a crew part, value program, and what to do when you're not receiving the level of support you expect, and some resource links. When you download this PDF file for the presentation, on the following screen will be some links that are highlighted in blue in the presentation, which you can click on, and it'll take you right to the web page with more information. Go to slide number 3. On slide number 3, we just want everybody to know that we're talking about the IBM WebSphere Data Power Appliance product line. They're powerful business solutions. They do a lot of things, and you can learn more about the appliances by clicking on the product webpage link to find out all the things and all the different types of appliances that are available. The key part about the appliance support is that it's a solution, it's an appliance, it's sold by IBM software sales teams, and the entire appliance is supported by IBM software support. So if you have a problem with an IBM appliance, you call one place, the IBM software support teams, and we handle all the support needs for the appliance firmware, helping you with simple use case and all the other things you expect from a software support team, along with helping you with the appliance itself. Let's go to slide number 4. On slide number 4, just a reminder for those of you that are aware, these are sealed devices with customer service reports in the back. They're very highly secure, tamper resistant. One of the security features is the case is sealed with a limited number of customer replaceable parts in the back called crews. And these crew parts at the back can be removed and replaced as needed if there's a failure on any of the crew parts without opening the case and triggering any of the tamper detection features behind the sealed part of the appliance, which is sealed. At IBM Software Support, we debug problems with the appliance, including helping you determine which one of the parts needs to be replaced. So you just have one place for the problem, and we work firmware, hardware, crew trays, one point for shopping. Slide number 5, please. Slide number 5, we have a tech note, which we keep updated, which is linked from the blue link on this slide number 5, which allows you to get the latest information about WebSphere Data Power support. It's like more information beyond the presentation that I'm giving you here. Let's go to slide number six. Slide number six, one of the first things you want to know is if you have an appliance, where can you quickly find some known solutions, some hints and tips, APAR fixes, and newsletters? If you click on the blue link on the first bullet, it'll take you to the support page. You can see the tech notes, questions and answers, APARs, fix packs that are available. You can also sign up for the My Notifications email so that important information is sent out to you when it's available. I think it's every week to you. Also, if you want to look for conversations between IBM customers and other people on our external Data Power forum, you can click on this link and look for known advice and conversations about the appliance on this forum. Let's go to slide number seven. On slide number seven, the steps to report a problem to IBM are the same as if you were reporting any problem to IBM software support. What you want to do is gather some debug information. So on the Data Power appliances support site, you can use the locate and click on information to include link, and this is the link to the must gather document, which links to other must gather documents that helps you assimilate and combine all the information needed for IBM to quickly look at the problem with you. It gives us a chance to really get a running start at debugging the problem. And these links, like I say, you can click right on them. On slide number eight, the second step is you want to prepare for opening the problem record with IBM software support. So IBM software support entitles the appliance by serial number. So it's important to have the serial number of the appliance which is having the problem. You may have multiple appliances with different contracts on them. It's important to use the serial number of the appliance which you're reporting the problem about. And you can find it from the web GUI using the system status version information, or just go to the command line interface and issue the show system, and it'll bring up the serial number. Also, to help facilitate quick debug, please let us know the firmware level of the appliance. Instructions are there under show versions of the CLI. The other thing that helps us is to let us know the severity of the problem, which is a numeric number 1 through 4, with 1 being the most critical, and then also to describe the impact of the problem to your business operations so we can look at the solution, look at the problem within the terms of your business solution, not just a discrete, you know, technical problem. We can understand how this is affecting the overall business that you're in. Slide number nine, we talk about step number three. Now, there's two ways to open a problem record up with IBM support. One is through an electronic tool called the SR tool, and Bill is going to follow this presentation with a presentation on how to use the SR tool. The other way is telephone support. Telephone support is provided just like any other software product that IBM poses. And in this link here, Directory of Worldwide Supports, you can click on that link to take you to the directory of IBM software support centers in your different countries. The key point, when you call IBM, you want to choose the software side of IBM problem submission and open up a software problem ticket. You want to give them the name IBM WebSphere Data Power. You want to give them the serial number of the appliance. You want to have your customer number. And you want to be ready to answer a question about the firmware on the appliance. And if they ask you what's the operating system firmware, you say Data Power firmware. And if they also want it, you can also provide this component ID, which is DP1234567. And there's a document in our welcome link which points you to all this information again. If you want to know what kind of support is provided for the IBM Data Power appliance, we have a link to the software support handbook which helps you determine the business impact and severity of the different problems as you report them. Slide number 10, please. Okay, one of the things that we talked about earlier is that what if you think the problem is one of the customer replaceable parts, if you're getting a message about fans or batteries or power supplies or something else, or the appliance doesn't respond to you. Again, just open the problem record up with IBM software support, and we'll take care of the problem with you. One of the things that we have here is within your contract, a lot of people wonder about when does the target replacement take effect. in terms of my 7x24x4 hour contract versus my 7x24x1 business day contract. What happens is that the crew replacement target window starts whenever we've worked with you to determine what is the hardware which needs to be replaced, if any, if we're unable to bring the appliance back online for you. The target window is also based on contract, country, and parts availability in your geo. Let's go to slide number 11 real quick. On slide number 11, we go over a little bit more in detail about the 7-day 24x4 hour contract. I put some more words about that versus the 7-day x 24x1 day, 1-year warranty, and when replacement policies take effect. We do get questions about what does this mean, and these things start as soon as the support team has determined that the solution is a part or an appliance. So this is for your reference. Slide number 12, please. Okay, slide number 12, I wanted to let you know that IBM provides software value, accelerated value program, which provides proactive support, knowledge and skill sharing, and problem management. If you're interested in the IBM Software Accelerated Value Program, you can contact your salesperson for the Data Power and let them know you're interested in the IBM Software Accelerated Value Program, and they can put you in touch with somebody to give you more information beyond the slide on what's included in this value program. Let's go to slide number 13. One of the things I want to let you know is if at any point in time you are not receiving the level of service you expect from IBM, you would call the IBM Software Duty Manager. The IBM Software Duty Manager is available to help you. I've got a link here to the directory of the worldwide contacts for the appropriate phone number to call. Call in, ask to speak to the Software Support Duty Manager. When you speak to the duty manager, provide them with the PMR number and describe your concern with the PMR. The software duty managers are there to help the support team and our customers work together to solve these problems, problems you report quickly to your satisfaction. Let's go to slide number 14. Slide number 14 I've included here, both written out and also in longhand, some resource links that you might find helpful when you're working on data power appliances, configuring them or debugging them or developing your business solution. Let's go to slide number 15. Slide number 15 is additional resource URLs. I wanted to provide you a list that you can look at right here. One of the most important ones is the levels of firmware that you can upgrade to and also the support lifecycle for the firmware and also the models. Let's go to slide 16, please. Summary, I wanted to give you a quick summary and an overview to kind of show you the options available to you and provide you some resource links on reaching the IBM Software Support Team and working with us. The most important thing is that the appliance is sold and serviced by IBM Software. When you call in for support, always think call software, and we support the entire appliance. Also, the Software Accelerated Value Program is available for the IBM Webster Data Power appliances, just like other IBM software products, if you're interested in having participate in this program. And I think we go to slide number 17. And thank you to the people who helped us put this presentation together. And I'll pass the presentation back to Joseph.
Thank you. I'll now pass the presentation back to Bill.
Okay. Thank you, Joseph. As Robert pointed out, thanks everyone for joining today, and if you're listening to to the audio version and kind of reviewing this material later, thanks to those of you as well. I'm Bill Carey. I'm going to talk about this tool, how to log, how to create and update existing PMRs, problem management records, or service requests. It's the same concept. Let's go to slide 2. And I'm going to talk not just about once you're in the tool and enabled, but how to get there. There is a two-step process in terms of getting set up to use the tool. I'll talk about that. So I'll be covering the benefits, talk about the user roles, and just going through the agenda here on page 2. I'll show you through some screenshots how to access the tool, how to open a new service request. And there's an attachment capability, so if, Robert was talking about, we've got some documents called must-gathers, and they talk about the documents that we like you to assemble and you have a means within this tool to attach those log files and other documents to your requests through this tool. You also have a search capability, and I'll talk about that. Let's go to slide 3. So this service request tool is available at any time. Our clients who have different types of support agreements can use this tool. Many of our customers who are DataPower customers may have a SWAMA or software maintenance agreement license, and so they'll be coming in and using this tool under that sort of agreement. There are other types of maintenance agreements called Passport Advantage, Premium Support, Support Line, and others. Any of the customers who have purchased those kinds of agreements can use this SR tool. The tool is going to allow you to describe the problem you're encountering and describe your environment. So it does give you a means of articulating and really capturing that information early on in the process. You have a monitoring capability. You can update existing problems. So if you were to create a PMR or service request on a given day by phone and another PMR electronically, you'll have access to both of those records. Now, that's assuming that they were opened under the same customer number. And the same is true if a colleague has either created by phone or created electronically. Both of you are going to have access to those records, to those PMRs. Again, the gating factor is they need to have been opened under the same IBM customer number. There's an attachment capability. I'll talk more about how you can attach files. And there is a notification option. So if you want to be notified when your PMRs are updated or closed, there's a means by which you can do that in this tool. Page 4. So here are the roles. There's the authorized user role or authorized caller, it's sometimes referred to. You can have as many of these, your colleagues, as set up as authorized users as are needed. There's no limit. There's the regional admin. So there is the concept in some cases with SR of the concept of a site technical contact within a customer environment. For our DataPower customers, they have a different model, and so we do have an IBMer who's doing the approvals of the self-nominations. I'm going to talk more about the whole self-nomination process a little later. And then another role, as it implies, an authorized reader is somebody who can monitor, can't create a new request, but can read and can access those records. Page 5. So here are the steps to get enabled to begin using the tool. Everyone needs to register. You'd go to our software support site to do that, or actually you could go to a specific product support page and you'd see a register button near the top right-hand corner of the page. Registration is a one-shot deal. You only need to do it once, and it's at that point that you create an ID and a password that you'll use for sign-in, and I'll talk more about that later. The second step in the process, once registered, is you need to get associated with a customer number or a serial number of an appliance. And so I'll talk more about the self-nomination process that streamlines that second step there in terms of getting on the authorized user list. Page 6. So if you are on the DataPower product support page, and Robert talked about he had a URL in his presentation on how to get to our DataPower support site, then you can go to this page, you look down, actually this blue bubble should be pointing up a bit to the contact support link. You click on that link, and that's going to allow you to drill down and get to this tool. Page 7. Where you'd go when you clicked on that link on the previous page is you're going to come to this page, the Contacting IBM WebSphere DataPower Appliance Support, and you would come to that first bullet that references the 9235s or 9004s. Clicking on that string, that hotspot, is going to take you, and let's click on that, or rather go to page 8. Clicking on that string is going to take you to our sign-in page. And it's here that you'd enter your ID and password, namely the values you chose when you went through the registration step. Now, by pressing submit, once your ID and valid ID and password combination are in these fields, that would take you into the tool. Now, let's assume that you haven't been authorized yet and you haven't been approved. What happens then? So let's go to page 9. So you've registered, but perhaps you haven't completed that second step. So what's going to happen is you should have a path or a link to take you to our self-nomination form and process. The purpose of the self-nomination form is to streamline the process of getting you enabled to complete that second step. So what you would see first when you went through the self-nomination and the forms would be a choice to say, what do I want to do? And so essentially you are going to be selecting authorized user as the role that you would like to have relative to this tool. What you'd see next then would be the screenshot part of the form that you see on page 9. Now, the means by which you can get enabled, you can do that either by customer number country or by machine type serial number. It's an either or proposition. So let's talk about the first one first of all. If you would know your customer number, you'd use that perhaps when you came in normally by phone and you created a PMR, entering the customer number in that first field and then selecting country in the second field is going to be a way to self-nominate. Now, the important point to note here relative to the choice for country is you need to pick the country associated with your contract and not necessarily the one where you are physically located. So putting customer number in, selecting contract, pressing submit would generate, at least would result in an email going to one of the IBM regional admins to do the approval. Let me talk about the bottom half now, the other part of this form. If you choose to come in by machine type serial number, you can do that. The first field, that machine type field, you'd enter the 9235 string. And what you'd put in the bottom then would be the serial number. I believe it's a 7-digit number generally in that bottom half. You don't need to do both. And you can also include some statement about justification. Now, if you come in by machine type serial number, you choose that path, let's go to the next slide, page 10. Then you're going to be prompted or at least asked for a platform and to verify your profile. Now, what we recommend for that first step for the choices there in the checkboxes is to select other. And then in terms of the bottom half of the page, you can't see all of it here, but just to verify that the profile information you see is accurate and correct, you have a means of updating that if it's not correct. And then pressing continue. Now, what should happen is that you're going to, it will result in an email going to one of our regional admins who would do the approval process. Now, should you get some sort of error, and an error might look something like, it may state something like, no agreements were found that match the information you provided, we do have a help desk and a way for you to contact IBM to essentially say, I tried to self-nominate and it didn't work, and what do I do now? So toward the end of the presentation, you're going to see a link to get to our help desk. Generally speaking, once you submit this form with valid customer number, country, or the machine type serial number, then the self-nomination process, the wheels start rolling. Go to page 11. So here's what the welcome page would look like. If you're if you've completed two steps or the second step has been completed for you, then you're going to see the welcome page of the tool. If I wanted to open a new request, I click either on the string under my name or in the left nav, same function behind it to open a new service request. One other point, anytime you see PMR numbers or service request numbers, they're hot. You can click on them, drill down, and get to the details behind them. Page 12. We always recommend, especially to our clients who are new in terms of using this tool, is to go in, take a look at your profile, and just be aware of some settings that are available to you. Now, here's my profile. A couple of points. First of all, because I registered, then some of this information is going to feed in automatically. Also, the bottom part. So if I want to be notified about changes to the PMRs that I create, I have a means to do that within this tool. Let's go to 13. A means within my profile, rather. So if I want to be notified, a couple of things. First of all, default settings, I believe, are all checked. So when you first start using the tool, all of these check boxes will be marked for the 71234. What won't be set by default is the send notification by email also. So it's a good idea when you start using the tool to go in. Perhaps you don't want to be notified when your SEV4s are updated, for instance. So you can uncheck that box. But it's important, if you wish to be notified via email, to check that send notification by email also. Otherwise, what happens is any update information is going to go into the My Messages part of this tool and doesn't necessarily come to you via email. Page 14. The bottom half of, two other points. One is that if you are associated with a given customer number, and perhaps you want to be associated with a second or third, the choices, it's unlimited in terms of how many contracts you can be associated with. If you want to do that, there's a means by which you can get to that self-nomination form that I referenced a couple of slides ago. You can click on the request access to additional agreements by self-nomination. That gets you to the form. The other point that's worth noting relative to your profile, you have a means within the tool to set up what could be referred to as a favorites list. So it's called a product component preferred list. But if, for instance, you find that when you're using this tool, you have lengthy lists of products and components that you need to go through each time you open a new request, then you can shortcut that, streamline that process to build a favorites list. And you can do that by clicking on that Add to My Preferred Product Component List, and you can do that more quickly as opposed to one PMR at a time. Page 15. So I clicked on the Open a New Service Request under my name in the left nav of the same function will get me to roughly this place, or at least let me talk a bit about the interface now. Think of it as being divided up into three sections. The top section, the first section, is the preferred product component selection. When you first start using the tool, you won't have anything in this area because it's a section that you need to build. It's fairly easy to do, but it isn't populated initially. The preferred product component list, again, is a favorites list, and you can build that. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. Let's go to slide 16. So think of that first section as being the subset of the products in your entitled list. The middle section, or the supported software product selection, would be your entitled products. Those products that are on your support agreement, you can open PMRs as many as are needed, and you can get to that entitled list either through the A through Z selector, or you can run a search in the filter by keywords field, or you can look at the product list and use the scroll bar to get to your entitled products. The bottom section of the interface is going to be the third section, and the heading is Entire IBM Software Product Catalog. You have a means within this tool to get to any product in our software catalog, and you have the ability to start the process to get a PMR created, even though that product is not on your entitled list yet. Now, to do that, you'd run a search. You could put perhaps Data Power or MQ or something in that field, and then it's going to produce a product name, and you can start the process. Now, as you might think, to use this third section and to get a PMR log this way is going to involve a short period of time where our contracts people need to work with your procurement organization to extend your support agreement and make sure that the product you picked is included. So just keep in mind the fact that you have that option in the tool. Page 17. So I picked a product and a component. I'm going to verify information in my contact in this portion of the tool. Because I've got a profile, this feeds in automatically. And so my email address and some other options come in. One point to make relative to that bottom field, the alternate contact field, is if I want someone else in my organization to be in the loop relative to changes and updates to my PMRs, then I can click on that drop-down, and it's going to display a list of all of the authorized users who are currently associated with my customer number. I can pick a name, and if I choose to select a name and I actually continue and then submit this as a PMR into our problem management system, that person whose name was there is going to get in the loop. And his or her email address would be under the covers, and that person gets included in the updates. Now, that's assuming that person indicated in his or her profile that they wish to be notified about changes to any records. Page 18. Here is the central part of the tool. You see product component and some details at the top. Now, working down, of course, our clients always choose the severity in terms of the issue, and Robert talked about SEV 1 through 4, SEV 1 being the most critical. Levels definitions provides a little help text, so if you click on that link within the tool, it's going to be a refresher, just a brief summary of how to distinguish between the different severity levels. How is this problem impacting your business? An important piece of information for us. It helps us to get a fuller sense and get a clearer perspective of how the issue is impacting your organization. And that is a required field. So let's work down now. Go to page 19. So here are the other fields that are displayed and information. We wish to collect information from you. Title, problem description, obviously required. Toward the bottom, if you want to use the file attachment capability, you can attach any number of files and get those to us and get those associated with the record you're creating. Now, once you've got the details here that you feel are complete, clicking on the submit button toward the bottom of the page is going to generate a PMR number, and the issue gets logged into our problem management system, and it goes to the support queue, and our Level 2 organization start working the issue for you. If you click that Save as Draft, it's going to save this record. It's going to collect the information, but doesn't actually generate a PMR number, and it would not be actually logged yet. Page 20. I talked a bit about creating PMRs. If you want to update existing records or PMRs, you have a means within the tool to do that. Clicking on that Search Service Request link in the left nav is going to produce a screen that asks for some filtering options. And then once you make some choices in terms of how you want to filter the information, and you'd see a page that might look something like this. You've got a table. The problem numbers are always hot. You can click on those and drill down and get to the details behind them. If you want to print the information as you see it, you have a printable report option. It produces a flat file. On the other hand, if you want an Excel format output, then you'd click on the export report, and then it's going to generate an Excel, or at least ask for where you want the Excel file to go on your workstation. One other point, if you want your spreadsheet to have a different appearance, so for instance, maybe you want the product information to be in the first column and you'd like the problem number to be on the far right, clicking on the Customize Result Table is going to produce a pop-up and give you some additional ways that you can modify the appearance of the spreadsheet that you create. Page 21. So in summary, you can use this tool to create requests. You have a means of updating existing ones. You have a file attachment capability You can receive notification if you choose when IBM support makes updates to your to the records that you create through the tool. Page 22. So here is some reference information. If you should have any difficulty, perhaps say with the self-nomination process, then you can use the contactus.html, the second item there, and that is a way to get to our tool team, and then they can help you resolve that issue. And there is help information that's available as well. Page 23. We've got some additional links here to so that you're familiar not only with this tool, but with other tools and initiatives that we have available in IBM support. And 24. So I think we're at the point now where we can open things up. I'm going to turn it back to Joseph.
Thank you, Bill, for a great presentation. At this point, Callie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have no questions at this time.
Thank you, Callie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.